God is good. Amen. He's in this place. Amen. Glad you're here in the house of the Lord today. Praise God. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 14 and verse 1. Amen. Spring is here. Amen. Just like spring weather out there. Praise God. One verse here today we're going to start with. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. Let's read that again. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. Praise God. What kind of house are you building today? Amen. We're going to talk today about the tale of two women. The tale of two women. Lord, I pray that you help me today, God, that your word would minister and touch in our lives here today, God. There's great importance of what we're going to talk about today, Lord. Lord, I believe your hand is upon this church, and we need godly women, Lord God, to rise up in this hour and be who you have called them to be. And we want to give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. We're living in an age where godly women are being attacked. Amen. For women's rights, all of these things, you know, that how we as godly women present ourselves and act and look and all of those things. We're living in an age that the society all around us is attacking that persona. Amen. They want you to think that you're something or should be more than what you are. Amen. And God sees us in a total different light. Amen. What he has given you can do great and mighty things. This verse informs us that a wife or a mother can either be a blessing or a curse to her household. You can choose today to change the atmosphere in your home. I don't know what your homes are like. I've visited maybe a few here, your house, maybe once or twice. So I don't know the atmosphere that you present at home. Amen. But you have an ability. God is saying here today that you, mom or wife, have the ability to make a difference in your house. Amen. A wife's wisdom can make up for many of her husband's defects. You've got to understand today, God has given you some abilities that men just don't have. Amen. On the other hand, all of his accomplishments can be destroyed by her foolishness. You can either build someone up or you can tear them down by your actions, by your words, by the things you say or do. All these things play in part of who we are and how we present ourselves in our homes. God is trying to get our attention today, and he wants to help us so that we can reach. If our home is separated in the spiritualness, maybe one is living for God and one is not, you know, you have the ability to change the atmosphere of your home. Amen. Like I said, I'm not exactly sure what atmosphere is being presented in your home, but God does. Amen. And I believe that God leads me and guides me and helps me to have messages that we need for the hour we're living in. And I believe God has given me this today here to help someone, to help maybe all of us. Amen. The godly matron is the very soul of the house. She instructs her children by her example, no less than by her teaching. She educates them for God and for eternity, not to shine in the vain show of the world, but in the church of God. Her household order combines economy with liberality, strict integrity in the fear of God. God has given you the ability to shape your house and how it is conducted and what goes on there. But mark the foolish woman. A sad issue if any enemy had done this, but it is the doing, or rather undoing, of her own hands. The importance of your home is if you have keys that make your household. Amen. Many Christians do not see their homes to be as sacred as the church. Amen. Many homes don't have the peace of God that we, as people that are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and baptized in His name and living a godly life, have. Amen. There's not peace in every home in America. Amen. The church, the structure of the marriage is attacked in this day and age. That's God's institution that we bought into. Amen. The marriage covenant. Ladies, it is important that we come to regard what goes on in our homes as sacred as the church. Well, how you present yourself here, amen, ought not be any different when you walk through the doors of your home. How you talk to people, how you present yourself, all of those things, you ought to live that godly example in your own home. Amen. It ought to be there. Consider your last 7 days. Think back just this past week, how things were conducted in your home. Have you behaved in a way that you would never consider behaving in this church? The actions, the things you said, maybe what you've done. Would you say or do those things right here? Have you used language that would cause you to blush if someone from the church heard you use it? Maybe a word said or a frustration vented or something that really, would you be comfortable with me being there in that conversation? Or maybe Brother Aaron or Brother Richards. How is that conversation being presented in your house? And God began human existence with a marriage and a family. Adam and Eve. Amen. He designed this coming together. It was beautiful in His eyes. The first institution established by God, the family and the home. God really looks at this as a guide of your salvation, of who you are. Amen. You're not fooling God. Amen. We don't fool God when we act two different ways. Amen. Deuteronomy 6:4-9 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Express them on your children. Talk about them when thou sit at home, and when thou walk along the road, and when thou lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." In other words, talk about God, His goodness, His blessings, what He's doing in your life, in your families. Share the love of God together, men and women. Talk about God's mercy. Amen. Have conversation that involves the blessings of God, what God has done for us. Amen. Today, we have replaced the home with the church. For many Christians and their families, all spirituality is exercised in church. We know how to act in church. We know how to come to church, clap our hands, and do a little jig, and feel the presence of God, and let a couple tears flow down our face. We have that mastered. We know how to be apostolic in our worship, in our praise, and how we conduct ourselves. We have it down to a T. But how is that spirit presented in our homes? All teaching is in the church. We come to church, we hear words from God, the word of God spoken to us, and we understand it. But is it being taught to your children, to your family? Are we expressing the things of God in our home? In too many Christian homes, there has been an abdication of responsibility for godly leadership, family worship, and spiritual discipline. Do we ever sit down and just worship God in our homes together? Do we ever just, you know, put on a CD or a preaching video and just allow the presence of God to enter our family's time? Amen. Does God invade our space? Is God a part of the world outside of the church in your lives? Amen. If not, we need to make room for God in our lives, in our families. Choose. It's that simple. It's a choice. Choose to make God your home, His home. Amen. Is God represented there? Is God, when someone that's never been to your home walks into your home, do they realize that I must be in the home of a godly person? Number one, I felt His presence when I walked in. Number two, I see it all around. Number two, I hear about the things of God. That, my friend, can make a difference in a home. Joshua 24:15 says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There has to be a determination in every person in this place today. I am going to serve the Lord. I don't care what the media presents. I don't care what the world is trying to get me to conform to. I am going to serve the Lord. When somebody comes to my house, they know that we serve the Lord. Amen? We have a godly home. The presence of God resonates in our lives, in our conversations with one another. Amen? The peace of God is there. Amen. If it is. Regardless of your husband's choice, ladies, you can choose to make your home a little bit of heaven on earth. Amen. I don't know your situation. But if it's not been good, you can choose today, this ending of this year, to make next year a whole better place. And you can bring heaven into your home by your choice of how you present God to your family, how he's working in your life. The challenges of Joshua's day were not more or less than these facing you today. Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. We have media and all those things, but what was going on was happening then. Amen. There was a lot of ungodly things going on in homes in Joshua's day. Amen. It's just now we're exposed to it more. We see it on our phones. Amen. When we're not spending time with God. I'm guilty. We got to spend more time in the presence of God, in his word, to bring that spirit into our home and shun the ways of the world, because that world, that media, is putting things in our path that is not godly. They're lies from the devil. You must choose to build your home according to God's design. And that's where it gets real gray here. Because we don't want to conform to the ways of God. Our flesh fights the ways of God. And because of the pressures of the society that we live in and the way that they think we ought to be living, the way that they think we ought to act. Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Is that your home? Is God listening to your conversation? Is God the unseen guest at every meal? Do we reserve a place for him? Making Jesus the head of your house will bring great blessings to your home. Amen. I remember growing up, we had a little thing on the table, and it had verses that you could read. It was Living Bread, I think it was called. But you could bring the presence of God in, and it's just a thought you just pick out and read for the day. Amen. There are ways that we can bring God's presence into our homes. Amen. We hold many keys of building a righteous and godly home. Psalms 127. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. In other words, is God in control of this builder? Bible says that we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Is God still sole owner of your body? Is he in control of your life? Does he have say over you? The word of God, is it meaningful to you? Or is that just something I can chuck over to the person sitting over across the way from me? God wants to know, am I Lord of your life? Because if so, then if I am building the house, then you won't labor in vain. If my presence is there, if you're bringing my spirit into your home and keeping it there, man, great things are going to happen. But if you don't, and you want to build it your way, and if You know, the saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's not a godly saying. That's not the word of God. Amen? Because if God is inside of you, you ought to be a forgiver. Amen? You ought to be one with compassion and one with love and mercy and long-suffering and all the fruits of the Spirit. Joy. That's a good one. Have a little joy in your home. Smile and laugh. Let the presence of God interrupt through laughter. Laughter does good for the soul, the Bible says. It's medicine. It helps the atmosphere. When you laugh, when you share the love of God and you're happy, you're in the presence of God, it makes a difference. Welcome his presence into your home. God, you're welcome here. In 2 Samuel 6:11, it says, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. For 3 months, the most awesome symbol of God, his presence, was entered into this man's home. It was there. It was present. You probably had to move the furniture around to make it a place, make a place for it. And maybe it was a little hard to get around at times. But the presence of God was there, and great blessings was upon that house. God was doing some awesome things in Obed-Edom's home. So this box, this four foot by 2.5 foot by 2.5, was the focal point of his home. Wow, the presence of God is residing here. Look, everybody that came to his house could see God was in this home. There was something special in the house of Obed-Edom. His spirit was there. Shekinah glory rested upon that home. In many homes today, there is another box that is the focal point of the home. It's not as big as the ark. Some of them are bigger. What is the focal point of our home? The furniture points toward it. In most homes, too often everyone's attention is focused on it. How was your day? Oh, was you saying something? Sorry. It has power to shape home life and form children's ideas about life. Here, why don't you sit over here and just watch this while I gossip on the phone? Because I really got to tell so-and-so about what brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so are doing nowadays. You know, I really got to keep them up to par on what's been happening in their lives. It has the power to corrupt values and disturb our relationships. We can glean things from these media bombardment of our life that can really distort the godly view that we ought to have. Because everybody's doing it. This ought to be right. I mean, that's only fair. If many Christian homes, the TV guide is read more than often the Bible. Or Facebook is poured over and over and over. Is there an altar in your home? Is there a time where you can get together and pray and seek God I'm talking about me as well, my friend. I'm not leaving me out. God is looking for homes that have His peace and His mercy in. Ladies, let me urge you to build an altar in the center of your home. Make there a place where we can get together and feel the presence of God. Talk about Him, listen to Him, hear the Word, share a scripture, share a thought about God that you've had during the day. Spring God up in conversation in your home, in the center of your house. Make certain that He is the unseen guest at every meal. Amen. That his thoughts are present in your day-to-day talking amongst your family. And make certain that He's the silent listener to every conversation. Build an ark of salvation in your home. Amen. Hebrews 11:7 says, By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. The salvation of our homes is the paramount. It's important. Amen. Above all else, I've got to save my family. If I don't save my family, I've failed. I can try to reach everybody, the church, everything around me, but if I lose my family, I've lost everything. You cannot save your family, only God can. But has God saved you? Are you under His authority? Is God's presence present in you? But you can build a home that points your family to Jesus, the Savior. You have that ability. You can prepare your home for God's presence to be present there. Bring up God in your home. Exalt God in your home. Have Him at the forefront of your life. Let your kids hear you pray. Let them hear you talk about God. Share God, what God is doing with your husband in your own life. How God's working on your own soul. Let God be God in your home. The wise woman in Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house. Amen. You hold keys. You hold things that God has given you to build up a godly home, a presence of God like none other. We are not given much information other than that one who puts forth the effort to build up her household is wise. What might be the characteristic of a wise woman considering the information we have? From what I can gather so far is God represented at home? Home building, we ought to have that as our focus. What is most important in your life? Is your career? Is your friends that no longer serve the Lord? Is your friends that maybe you grew up with that don't serve God or never have? Are they most important in your life? Do you have godly influences that you communicate with on a daily basis during the week? Do you spend time with the ladies in the church? Do you have a relationship with your pastor's wife? that you can pick up the phone and share the things of, that God is speaking to you in your life and talk to her throughout the week. We spent a lot beginning of this year talking about the Jezebel spirit. Amen. And these are things that if we can focus on the things of God, we can allow those things that spirit can attach to us through these unknown things that we don't know really that who we're dealing with. And they get hold on us and they get a grip on us and we don't even realize it. And that attitude and that spirit starts taking root in our lives. And we don't even see it in our own life. But if we can focus on godly relationships, that we know people that are living for God and trying their best to walk in the ways of God, and we can get our influence in their lives and theirs in ours, and God's spirit can move, and God can become, we can become in unity together. We need that in our lives. We need each other. God didn't put us together here for just to know one another, just to see each other a couple hours out of the week. No, he put us here so that we can mingle together and get to know one another and help and teach and grow one another. The elder is supposed to build up the younger. Amen. God is wanting you to dig into someone else's life and help them. Raise them up. Teach them how to be godly. Teach them how to have a home that is pleasing to God. Titus 2:3-5 says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. Put away the bottle. But teach what is good. Then they can train the younger woman to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. I'm reading that out of the Bible. That's not Pastor Matt Roberts' words. That's our Lord. Amen. So if something's rising up in your spirit while I'm speaking these things, you don't have issues with me. You have issues with God. And Jezebel is ruling you. That spirit of Jezebel is ruling. If you're fighting the words that I'm speaking right now, there's something else controlling you. It's not him. A godly woman keeps her marriage vows. Here they are. Wilt thou obey him? Serve him. Love. Honor. And keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep these only unto him, so long as you both shall live. Are we still doing those things? Are we loving and honoring and keeping and being the best that God can be through us? A wise woman will build her house, finds time to love her husband. Amen. Finds time to say good things about him to your friends. Speak well of him to your besties. She is aware of the sins of omissions, and take steps to omit the glue that holds the marriage together. You may be as pure as the dewdrop, but if you always have a headache and you are too tired you are committing a sin of omission. Yeah, I'm getting a little crude here. But this is the word of God. And God knows what men need. He didn't make this stuff up. We were designed after his heart. Amen. God created us in his likeness. Amen. God is, he's an amazing God. He knows how to create great things. But it's only through our submission to them. And if we choose to go our own way, we're going to have hell in our home. There's not going to be the peace of God there because we're choosing to follow our own desires. So I'd rather get on board with God because one day I'm going to answer to him for how I built my house. 1 Corinthians 7:5. Do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, then come together. Enjoy what God has given you in the marriage covenant. Amen. I don't have to go into detail. I think you know what I'm talking about. But if you can have God's Spirit in your life and let God's presence flow through you, beautiful things can come out of a marriage that is totally surrendered to God. A covenant. It doesn't just bless the husband, it blesses the family. The two biggies, submission and respect. Demonstrating submission and respect to your husband will go a long way toward building up your house. Amen. Romans 8:5 says, those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Wives, submit to your husbands. In Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to the Christ, so also the wives should also submit to their husbands in everything. How do you talk to God? Is that the same way you talk to your husband? Do you have love in your heart to your husband as you do God? What submission is not? Submission does not simply, is not to imply that the male is superior to the female or inferior. It's not what it's about. Submission is not obeying your husband out of fear. Submission is not going along with things to gain advantage, to control or manipulate your husband. Submission is not, does not mean that a wife says yes, dear, to whatever her husband suggests. Submission does not mean that a wife closes her eyes to sin just for the sake of keeping peace. Submission is an attitude that is expressed in very noticeable ways. Philippians 2:5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ. Ephesians 5:33 says, the wife must respect her husband. Amen. Proverbs 11:22 says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. How does a woman tear down her house with her own hands? Having a competitor Spirit instead of a compliment. Genesis 2:18 says, I will make a helper suitable for him. Is your relationship together building one another up or tearing one another down? I'm going to close here. I'm out of time. But is our relationship building each other up or is it tearing each other down? It's something that we can look at in our lives and allow the Spirit of God to enter and bless our homes. Because let me tell you one thing. You may be having these issues in your house and dealing with them. And let me tell you, you don't realize it, but it does affect the body of Christ. It does affect our relationships to reaching this world. Amen? God will put the brakes on until some things get taken care of. Amen? And we'll just stay in the wilderness until things get right. And then we'll move on when we're ready to allow God to work in our lives as he has so desired to do. Amen. You may think that we're fooling everybody, but that sinner that walks off that street can sense that familiar spirit. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord, for your word today, God. I pray today that we can re-examine our homes, our lifestyles, how we present ourselves, what we do, how we speak to one another. Lord, help us, Jesus, to digest this and not just pitchfork it, but put it into our spirit, Lord God. Lord, search our hearts. See if there be any wicked way in us, Lord. And help us, Lord, to be that one that builds a godly home. And Lord, your presence is felt and experienced by others around us. We love you. We thank you for your word today. Bless us in the remainder of this evening. In Jesus' name.